When the warehouse workers gather, you know we gon' be lit. Talking about all matters, dropping that knowledge shit. Cause we get it started, heat the best way. Crack it open with the drink of the day. Then we got Nerd Corner, Josh spitting facts. All types of nerd stuff, all up in the act. But when it comes to females, you know who hit the scene. Ricardo letting you know how we do his thing. Yeah, cause this ain't just some chit chat. Nah, this the Warehouse Rats.
Welcome to another episode of the Warehouse Rats podcast, season 2, episode 6. I am one of the hosts, Josh, joined by fellow founder and co-host,
the only, the legend,
the GOAT,
the G-O-A-T, Ricardo.
Ricardo.
R-I-C-A-R-D-O.
Also joined, silently munching on his munchies, the fluffer nutter. Crooked Skid Micah. Welcome, Micah.
That means thank you.
Yes. How's it going, man?
Well, I'm doing fantastic, man. I'm really thirsty. And I'm doing good.
How about yourself? I'm not doing too bad, you know? It's not too bad for a Friday.
Yeah. I left, sorry, that's my vibrator's going off.
Oh.
I left work a little bit early today, so, I did that cycle count, and it was awesome, man.
You quitter.
It only took me, like, 2 hours to do, so it's, you know.
It was a small one, don't
worry. It was a small one. I mean, it's a shitload of fucking things, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. I mean, I love doing other people's jobs.
I got you. You know. All right. Drink of the day. Now, let me tell you. Oh, Micah, would you like?
Say no more.
Here you are, sir.
All right, so drink of the day. This one, I've never had. Not going to lie, I only bought it because of the can.
Yeah, dude.
You know who that is, right?
Not at the top of my head. I'm sorry, man.
Anyways.
Who is he?
So, on the can, doing the classic.
Is that Sandler guy?
No.
Okay.
You hush your mouth.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Doing the classic truffle shuffle is Chunk from Goonies. Now, they might say, well, it doesn't look like Chunk. It's like, oh, shut up. That is Chunk. I watched Goonies so much growing up. That's fucking Chunk on a beer can. And he has a tattoo on his stomach that says Juicy. So, anyways.
Just like my lips.
This is no...
And my hips.
Dignity Hazy IPA from Pigeon Hill Brewing Company, brewed in beautiful Muskegon, Michigan.
Oh.
Now, I'm not just saying that. That's legit on their can.
Oh,
so
shit. I think you're saying...
Beautiful, apparently.
I was going to say, have you ever been to Muskegon? Because it's... no offense to the Muskegon listeners, if there's any, but...
All right, well, here, I've never had this, so we're going to try it together. So, cheers, fellas.
Cheers. Ding. Now, have you noticed that a lot of the beers, a lot of the IPAs, a lot of the small-time breweries, they got very fancy, colorings on their cans now?
It's eye-catching.
Very eye-catching.
Like, legit, I only bought this because of Chunk.
You said Trump?
Chunk.
Oh. And I was like, damn, I didn't think you're a Trump supporter. Awesome.
You
damn.
Shut your mouth. Anyways, but seriously, I'm going through and the store that I get my alcohol, it has all kinds of alcohol. And I'm like, you know, I don't want to go too heavy, so I want a beer, but I don't want to just get something I've drank over and over. I want to try something new.
Right.
And out of a whole cooler of beer I've never tried before, that's what I saw. And I'm like, that's the beer I'm taking.
That's funny.
Never had it before. And, well, I mean, it's an IPA. I like IPA. Right. So I was like, you know, I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it was like a weird, like, weirdo flavor IPA or something like that. Yeah. But, I mean, the fact that it's a pretty common.
Yeah, it's a very common. I wouldn't say it's anything special, to be honest. I mean, it's good. It's
Yeah, for sure. It's super good. Like, I mean, but again, I like IPAs.
Now, last week. Last episode that we were doing, I went to I think it was the last week or probably the week before, I went to Megabev.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how it is in other places around the world, or is it just like an American thing where, like, bro, like, I could legit drink a few drinks from there every weekend and probably it would take me several years to go through everything.
To go, like, through their whole selection.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's crazy because it was last episode, because I remember I asked a guy, and he was actually very knowledgeable, because I asked him about because I said new founders, because that's what you told me.
Yeah.
He said, no, they don't, new founders doesn't make that one, but, what is
shorts.
This? Yeah, shorts makes them. I'm like, oh, yep. Okay.
Yeah, I totally beefed it on that.
But, it's just kind of crazy to me to know or to see so much liquor and alcohol and fucking whiskey and vodka and tequila.
Yuck.
Rum. Some rums. I mean, the bottle's really fancy. Mm-hmm.
You ever tried a Kraken? It's a spiced rum.
Mm-hmm.
The bottles are glass, obviously, but they look like the old pirate... you know, rum jugs.
Okay.
They're actually really cool, and it's actually really good.
If you look at some of the, there was actually a little bottle I think it was vodka. It looks like it's in the shape of an alien, so I was going to buy that one. But then,
nice.
And then I went to the counter. They actually had like a little shot that looks like an alien made from the same people. So I almost got it, but I was like, nah, we're going to tequila today. So I'll probably get it next week.
It's liquid sin.
Yeah. Yeah, don't do it again. It's a horrible idea. So, before we get started, Josh.
Yes.
Now, we talked about this a little bit at work, but I want to see if you can actually make this happen. Okay, so.
Oh.
We talked about how I am boycotting this this Chinese restaurant that keeps... that I love their hot and sour soup, but she's not the nicest person. Mm. And I want you to go in there one day as a undercover spy and see how she treats you. And I don't know how we can do it to where I can see what happens.
I could pretend I'm on my phone. Well, no, see, people get pissed about that. So I think she might be mean to me if she thinks I'm talking to somebody. But if I'm really talking like this and using my video recorder to record the interaction.
What if you record it? We'll delete it afterwards.
Yeah, but see, it's private property, though. I'm pretty sure you can't record without the establishment's permission.
Not if they don't find out.
We probably shouldn't be discussing this on podcast.
This is
the details of how we're going to do this. Or not do this.
Allegedly.
Allegedly do this.
Yes. No, but I honestly think that she treats me, she's really mean to me, and I don't like it. But I love her hot and sour soup.
Do you think maybe you give off a particular vibe when you go in that kind of rubs her the wrong way?
I never even touched her. How can I rub her the wrong way? No.
Metaphorically speaking.
No, I wouldn't think so, because, I mean, the only interaction that we have is, like, I order, mm-hmm. whether it's through the app or online or, mm-hmm. You know, just to the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I go in there and pick up my food. Like, how can I be offensive or give off the wrong perception? Well,
okay. You haven't looked at option C.
What is option C?
I assume you've been going there for a while and getting the soup.
Yes.
How long would you say? Ballpark.
I would say the last few years. Let's just say 2 or 3 years.
So it's been a while.
Yeah, I've been a supporter for like 5 years, but like the first earlier years, the first 2 years, I was very like not as consistent as I am now.
You weren't a regular customer.
A regular, yeah, I wasn't a regular.
So has she been there that whole time?
Yeah, but I mean, I'll give her props though. Like I will give her props because she is there every fucking day, and she is like sunrise to I don't know what time they open. They actually open kind of late, so that kind of pisses me off. But that's besides the point. But if she's there every day, she's over there, she's always taking orders, and I'm assuming that's the husband is over there making the food, and so I'm she might be a little bitter, but okay. I don't know, man.
Well, again, you haven't looked at it for option C here. What if, in the midst of you being becoming a regular and coming into her life day after day, that maybe she fell in love with you. And so the only way that she can fight her feelings, because she's married and has a business with her husband, yeah, she has to be mean to you in order to save her own heart. She has to break yours just a little bit.
It's kind of like it's like letting a pet go and telling them, don't come back.
Yeah.
I hate you. Kind of like that.
Yeah.
Okay, I can see that.
She could just legit love you, man. Mm-hmm. And she just can't. She's just fighting it.
Or here's maybe the other reason that she might be in a very shitty mood. Mm-hmm. It's fucking hot in there, bro. Like, they don't believe in AC, and in the fucking wintertime, it's fucking cold in there.
I'm going to go with the one that she loves you. Because okay, that makes that, it seem that, a little better. Yeah, it's and also, I'm a sucker for a good love story.
Yeah, she's... let's say I give her a lot of props, though, because she's there every day. And, and I mean, just being there every day as a... Like, you lose some of that... I don't know, that love for your... Or passion, I would say. Mm-hmm. Passion for your customers, you know? So, now, as you guys... I mean, we're not into Brody Talk yet, but I got some other shit going. But... Would you go back to that establishment if you felt like somebody wasn't being...
Oh, dude. Hey, once upon a time, in a far-off land, I had found probably, even to this day, my favorite Chinese food restaurant. They had amazing portions, great sauces, like, on their chickens and stuff like that. Their fried rice was amazing. Like, overall... And they had great service. Like, I lived a decent ways away from this mm-hmm. thing. They would still deliver it to my apartment. So, I mean, overall, great. Tragically. They stole $100 from me and then shut down.
Damn.
After, like, going there for a number of years, mm-hmm. which was a super disappointment because I wanted to go there and yell at them, mostly because, like, yeah, you stole my money, but you're closed. Now I don't have your food anymore.
That's crazy.
So, I mean.
What about you, Micah?
You know, how good is this food? This hot and sour soup.
So, honestly, some of the other foods I don't try as much because I honestly don't think, you know, it's anything special. But that hot and sour soup is definitely on point.
And the price.
You can't beat the price.
Okay, so it tastes good, price is good. What are you complaining about?
Her service. She's mean to him.
Yeah, she's very mean to me.
She has terrible bedside manners.
I'm still lost. What are you? So the food is good, the mm-hmm. price is good.
I think it would taste even better if she loved me.
Maybe she does. We talked about that.
Or maybe show me some. Oh, and then another thing that pisses me off: she's very inconsistent with her fortune cookie. Sometimes.
Like, she doesn't give you one?
Yeah, most of the time she doesn't. Sometimes, once in a while, like, oh, shit, there's a fortune cookie in here.
Well, yeah, because if you only order soup.
Well, what the hell is Chinese food without a fortune cookie at the end?
I'm pretty sure it's still Chinese food. It's
Chinese food without a fortune cookie. It's like...
Chinese food.
It's like Mexican food without sauce. Hot sauce.
Mild, hot, or fire?
Fire.
That's fake. Sorry. Never mind.
Anyways, let's move on to Nerd Corner, Josh. What do you have going on today for Nerd Corner?
So I saw a trailer for a TV series, a mini TV series, and it covers our current president's election.
Ooh.
And so at first I was like, it's got to be like a documentary, but no, it's a legit production. Jeff Daniels is in it.
Oh yeah.
I really
I was like, I don't know this.
You don't
we've been through this a lot.
Okay. The movie Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
he's not Jim Carrey.
Oh, okay.
He's the other guy. That's okay. Jeff Daniels. That, but the... also, that's if that's the only movie you know him about, you are not watching good movies.
Is he the main actor on Kingpin? No, wait. Is it?
No, that's Woody Anderson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But isn't he the Amish guy?
Oh, fuck. It's been a minute since I've seen that movie.
What? Yeah. That's,
anyways,
that's,
moving on.
I know who we're talking about now.
Playing Trump is Brendan Gleeson. Now, he's a Irish actor. One of the first things that I remembered him from, he was in the second Smurfs movie. He was.
No, I just...
He like, the live-action one with Neil Patrick Harris. He played his adoptive... No, not adoptive. Stepdad.
So, before you go on, I mean to interrupt you. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to dive into this Founders because I've been wanting to try this for a long time already.
Oh, is this that crazy one with the cinnamon?
I don't know for sure. The one thing that's missing is that maple aspect of it that I was really looking for, but I couldn't find it. I don't know if it's a very, like a little...
Is there like a limited thing?
It must have been or something. I don't know. But okay.
Anyways. So, once I realized who was in it, what it was about, but then seeing the footage of this guy as Trump was scary. Like, the best. Like, even doing the hand motions, like the finger he always does, and he cocks his head in a weird way, and like his jowls that he has going on, like legit. There's a couple of shots. He sounds and looks exactly like Trump, which I'm like, okay, how the hell was this okayed? Who signed off on this and said, hey, this is a great idea? And what got me thinking was, did you guys see the movie The Interview?
Yes, I did.
With Seth Rogen and James Franco?
Yeah.
How it was supposed to be this big release and everything like that. And then, of course, North Korea went crazy like it has a habit of doing.
Right.
And then they went right to video or DVD or whatever. Nobody knows what video is. So right to DVD or streaming service or whatever. Because of this political aspect of it being... too sensitive,
right?
I guess. So then I'm just thinking to myself, it's like, how did this project get okayed, but this other one was not? And especially with a guy like Trump, who, if he's painted in a particular way in this mini TV series, I imagine he'll have a few words to say about it. He will let Twitter know what's going on. Right. And honestly, like, I think the one takeaway I got from this trailer was how much he looked and sounded like him. It was weird. And this actor who plays him, I like him. I like his acting style. I like how he plays. He was in the Harry Potter movies. He played, for those Harry Potter fans, he played Mad-Eye Moody. Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. Yeah. The guy with the crazy eye. He drinks a lot. But then you find out it's not really him. Anyways,
this beer is really good.
Okay, well, I'm about to crack it. Really good. Anyway, so the fact that it has a cast of people that I really enjoy watching, but then him playing a role like that, I'm like, I really hope that role doesn't ruin that actor for me. Like, in the show Dexter, John Lithgow was in season four, he played a seriously messed up individual. And that season kind of really started to skew the show for me.
Right.
And I will never look at that actor the same way just because of how crazy he got in that show. So I'm like, okay, this little mini series better not ruin this actor for me, because if it does, I'm going to be super pissed.
You said it's a series, not a movie?
Yes. It's one of those like two-night... Okay. Series thing. So basically it's a movie, but they're releasing it for TV, but it's on Showtime, so you're gonna have a lot of stuff that Trump likes to say.
Grab by the pussy.
I wasn't gonna say it, but
yeah, he said it.
I didn't say it.
I know he said it, not me. It's just locker room talk, guy. It's just locker room talk.
But yeah, so I just, again, it was, I couldn't wrap my head around it.
Let me give you two reasons I could think of the top of my head, right? That why it's not as politicized, or not, maybe it's not as
it's about the current president who's terrible.
Okay, well, yeah. Well, let me give you two reasons why I think that it's
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, you
want
to open that
for me? Why it's not a problem, or it's not looked at as such a big deal, right?
Okay.
Number one is, first of all, it's an American actor talking about an American, or acting as an American president. Right, it's kind of those. Is that it's kind of that concept of like I can make fun of my brother and you know tease him and almost be bullyish like, mm-hmm. but as soon as somebody else does it, then it's a problem.
Oh, it's fisticuffs then, right?
Sure. number two is, I don't think that with the interview they had the whole concept of it was trying to kill him, right? So. I think that was one of the other biggest problems was that the CIA was trying to send the two actors over there, wow. Seth Rogen, to kill him in a sense. So I think that was the biggest issue, is that hey, you're even though politically, you know, everybody looks at North Korea except for Russia and some other countries like China, not as a bad way. No.
Not so much.
Most countries would say that, you know, North Korea is a bad country, or at least North Korean leader is a bad leader. There are still a lot of. There's still some unethical things behind the killing of somebody like that, and I think that's why it got a lot of backlash too.
Yeah.
So those are the two things I can think of right at the top.
I think
of my
it's
head.
Mostly just because what's his face, Kim Jong Un, or however you say his name, doesn't have a sense of humor.
Well, based on the movie, he has a great sense of humor,
right? And he loves Katy Perry.
and he does take shits.
Yep.
Oh my god. What about you, Michael? What do you think?
COVID-19 is China's fault. This election will be rigged, and kids are immune to COVID-19.
Okay.
Right?
Well, we're on the topic of the Trump, right? Okay. Did either of you watch his address to the nation yesterday?
I didn't watch it, but I've definitely heard a lot of stuff and seen a lot of stuff on Facebook how it was their... kind of say how stupid you are because
what's new?
You're saying how unsafe it is for voters to go vote.
The election's rigged.
But it's safe for kids to go back to school. You're counter.
Yeah.
We're living in his world, and I think it's great that we have a movie about his election. I cannot wait to see it. American Pride. Kim Jong Il. Love that guy.
No, it's Kim Jong. No. Kimmy Jong.
Kimmy Jong.
Nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I just, I think, at least from the trailer, the first thing that really took me was how well they were able to capture Trump, and the fact that this actor sounds, and he's an Irish guy, and he sounds exactly like Trump. It was eerie how much he sounded like him.
I think that Trump actually is a second generation American coming from Scotland. His mom is from Scotland.
They don't claim him.
Well, yeah, but. Still, that's why the Irish guy can mock him so easily.
No, I don't think so. Okay. I don't think that's what it is.
It runs in the family.
I don't know what the fuck that was. But
no,
yeah.
No, I think that's... I would say that that's probably the biggest reason is that why it's insensitive, even though you're talking about a ruler that has... been known to kill a lot of people, or not himself, but a lot of his goonies have killed a lot of people or imprisoned a lot of people that essentially die from a lot of things. Where even though the idea of it is sickening in a sense, and it makes a lot of sense, but it's still kind of sick, and because you're talking about a leader that's not
it. See, the thing, especially with the interview, I remember being genuinely pissed that they did not release it in the theater, because it's like, okay, so you're going to allow people on the other side of the world to dictate that your movie is released. It's like, here's the thing. If you don't want that movie released in your country, guess what? You have the power to do that.
Right.
And it's not like they were pushing for it to be released in North Korea.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, good. So it's not like they were pushing for it to be released there as like a in-your-face kind of thing. They were making an American movie. It just so happened to be about other shit. And it was dictated from fucking powers that be that said, hey, this is probably a bad idea. You should probably shouldn't do this. It's like, why the fuck not?
Well, two things I got to say about that. First of all, do you know for a fact that that's why they didn't put it in theaters? And second,
yes. Okay. I've seen interviews with Seth Rogen where he specifically says that for a chunk of time after where the concept or the premise of the movie was really starting to get out there, mm-hmm. and certain details about the movie were starting to get out there, that they actually had a security staff follow crew members home, mm-hmm. and hang out at their house overnight, and then follow them back to the studio.
Wow.
And then he said when we finally made that decision that, hey, we're not going to release this to theaters, those guys disappeared.
Wow.
So again, especially being on a more creative side myself, if you put energy and effort into making something that you enjoy, especially like when it comes to like movies and stuff, mm-hmm. like that. And Seth Rogen has a lot of, from what I understand about him, he has a lot of, he adds a lot to the creative process to most of his movies. After going through all that and making a funny movie, like that movie is fucking hilarious.
It is pretty funny.
To essentially have it be shut down sucks. Like, I think their budget was between 40 and 50 million, and I don't think they even broke 13.
Damn.
And I guarantee you that was because they didn't release to theaters. So they didn't even break even.
Mm-hmm. Seth is going to be okay.
Oh, I'm sure he'll be fine. But even so, it's like, it's
well, let me put those shoes on you real quick, right? Because I know you're barefooted right now.
Yeah, that's what I do, man.
Well, let's just say you have a president that is somebody that you really, what would I say, cultish, like.
What? Say it again.
That's besides the point.
I don't know what you're saying. Say it in Spanish. Maybe I'll understand it.
Let's just say that you follow. Let's just say your president. You love your president so much that you follow him almost like in a cult-like status.
Okay.
And let's just say some foreign country that you despise. Let's just say Russia makes a movie of your president, how they're trying to send over some Russian spies, because mm-hmm. you know Russians, that's what they like to do. Send out spies and to kill your favorite president. How would you feel about it? Would you have any backlash, or would you try to that's a kind of weird question. Would you have any types of remorseful thoughts?
Would I be the one to try to go kill the people who made it? No. Because here's the thing. There in the entertainment industry, there is a movement where people will say whatever they want mm-hmm. about the people who have made or are a part of this creative process of creating movies, video games, or whatever.
Right.
And they call these individuals out, particularly actors.
Mm-hmm.
A particular situation where an actor plays a role that does something that people hate, they lash out at that person. Which I 100% believe to be wrong.
Right.
Like, no question about it. So, when you have a movie that depicts you sneaking in and killing a world leader of a country that's crazy. No offense, I think. And the fact that a small country, that it is, can strong arm the creative minds in America
mm-hmm.
so that they don't release their own personal project
right.
is ridiculous. It's like, yes, Here's the thing, though. That should send a message to the rest of the world. Hey, this guy is crazy enough. The fact that he can dictate what happens in America. Everybody's worried about Putin. Nobody's worried about the little chubby Asian guy who is crazy.
Whoa. How many beers have you had?
Two and a sip of that whatever delicious thing you're deliciousness. Drinking.
No, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, you definitely don't want that type of interference with the American, the American
entertainment
business. Yeah. It's anything, pretty much. So yeah. You don't want anybody to come in here and say, or not just say, but just kind of like force their opinions on us in a sense. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, because we are essentially a free country to do or and say whatever we want, as long as we don't offend Trump. You know, that's definitely it. What we go for.
You're the worst.
The worst.
The worst.
But no, yeah, you make a very valid point. However, I just think that the sense, it's so hard for me to say that it's. First of all, let me just say that if it was Mr. Young. Mr. Kim. First of all, sir, let me just say I apologize on behalf of my people. Mexicans. If we did anything wrong, we had nothing to do with this. I'm simply a innocent bystander. However, you can calm your shit because we do not take threats very easy.
And bitches be crazy.
Bitches be crazy.
Anyways. That's all I got.
Micah, any final thoughts?
The election is rigged.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Hey, we're back.
Somebody doesn't know.
I don't know where the buttons were. I'm still learning this shit. I'll go through all the buttons.
You gotta leave that in there.
Hey, we're back.
And we're back.
So Ricardo, hit us up with some some Brody talk.
Okay. So you have a job, right?
We work together.
Oh yeah, we do. How about you, Micah?
I may not be on site, but I am a team member.
Oh, okay. That's good. So with work being really slow lately, right? It's led me to have other side hustles, and I just kind of thought to myself, I get this I get these comments that are made about me as not being a very hard worker, and I get a little offended. Even my mom said that. Not that.
Wait, your mom said that you're not a hard worker?
She said it. She said it.
Didn't she also call you fat recently?
Yeah, she did. She's definitely. I love my mom. She's just definitely very blunt and as loving as she is. She's.
Well, I'm assuming having to work at a pickle factory, you have to grow pretty tough skin.
Yes, definitely. Now, it got me to thinking, right? That she is very, not just she, but there are some people that would say that there's a level of, not say laziness, but there's a level of, when you're a hard worker, you're supposed to be a physical hard worker. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a misconception behind that concept, right? So because you're not working hard mm-hmm. or with your hands and physically does not mean you're not working hard, right? Sorry, mm-hmm. I'm getting a little choked up here.
It's okay. Do you want a hug from behind?
No. So did you know, quick fact, did you know that in India, guys hold hands and there's nothing homosexual about it? So go ahead and grab my hand.
I'm not touching you.
Micah?
I'll grab your hand.
Oh, why won't you let me grab your hand? You went for
it. You pulled away. I'm still not ready yet. Oh no, God.
We'll get you out the closet.
No. Whoa. I'm not coming out the closet. So it got me thinking, actually, that I consider myself a very hard worker, I think. Why are you smiling, bro? Damn. So,
go on.
Okay, maybe at work I'm not considered the hardest worker just because I'm more of a, how should I put this? I move so quick that I'm kind of slow. I'm kind of like slow motion. You know what I mean? It's hard to really put that in perspective. But I do consider myself a very hard worker when I have to. And not only that, but I'm actually like a really outside of work. I like to keep busy for the most part. You know, like that's another thing too, where a lot of people don't really understand the fact that. Just because I do an 8-hour day or a 10-hour day, outside of work, I still got my side hustles. Like,
man, when was the last time you did a 10-hour day?
I said, or. Doesn't mean... actually, that's a good question. I haven't done a 10-hour day in a real long ass time.
I did one recently.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Like legit, it felt great.
Did it?
Oh, yeah.
So how come you didn't do it again?
Because there's nothing to do.
So, like... My side hustle obviously is delivery, so I'm a delivery expert.
Delivery specialist.
Okay, specialist expert. And not only that, but I'm also like trying to get in the Josh, you know this. I'm getting in the world of Robinhood.
Stock trading.
Stock trading. There you go. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm a stock trader by day, as well.
Compulsive gambler.
So I mean,
whatever you want to call it.
It's only gambling if you know you're gonna lose, okay? And I know I'm gonna win, so it's not gambling.
I don't think that's right.
Oh, that's right. So I have a lot of side hustles. And like the last few days I was actually on the farm doing some farm work and helping getting the blueberries processed and and it's actually pretty tough. I mean, a lot of people see me as this, you know, down to earth, bubbly person that has a bubbly personality. Can be quite a big of a dick sometimes, but
who thinks that about you?
Everybody.
Really?
I say so. No.
The down to earth thing I see, not bubbly.
Not in the morning, at least.
Oh, yeah. Not in the morning.
He'll show up. He's like, I hate the world.
Yeah, don't fuck with me in the morning. But so it got me thinking, like, I would love to be not have to go to work anymore and do my side hustles and kind of like my side hobbies, I would say. So do you guys have anything in mind that you guys would like to, Josh, like a side hustle besides podcasting, right? What would you like to be doing outside of work as a full-time job? That would almost be like a side hustle, but almost like your main source of income.
Honestly, I would love to paint. Like some of my paintings that I've done over the years, I've actually sold. I had a couple commissioned to me, and you know, sold those. Probably my top 5 favorite paintings I don't have anymore because I sold them. But honestly, I would love to be able to paint every day and turn it over for money.
So what is it that you like about painting?
It's super relaxing. Cause like I'll set up and I'll put some music on and everybody knows, hey, this is painting time. You better be dying if you're gonna interrupt me.
What'd you say?
I want blood. I want to see blood. But I mean, you know, so it's a very soothing process. I'm not terribly good at it, at least in the conventional sense.
Right.
Now,
do you think that you're a little bit harder on yourself than?
Oh, I'm sure I am.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think a part of it is I haven't found my style. You know, you see a lot of painters, they have particular styles and the movements they use and shit like that, which basically made them for who they are.
Right.
for me, I haven't found. I think I'm pretty close to figuring out what my style is, and I like it. But the only shitty thing is I go through paint like crazy.
Right, right. Do you just grab like a big bucket of paint and just like throw it at the wall and call it art?
No. Okay. But I do use a lot of paint for like a painting.
But you say that you try to you're still trying to figure out your own style.
Mm-hmm.
But let me ask you this, because I think that there's a lot of different careers in life that have like your I would say like your outstanding athlete, your outstanding politician, your outstanding, you know what I'm saying, like where they know how to do their careers really well.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with mimicking them? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's wrong with doing that? Like
what do you mean?
So you're saying you're trying to find your particular, but what's wrong with saying like, you know what? I look at let's just say Van Gogh. That's the only thing.
That's my favorite painter.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
So I look at Van Gogh and I love the way he comes across in his paintings. Mm-hmm. I really like his style, and I try to emulate his style.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with saying I emulate his style?
There's nothing wrong with it.
Without trying to find your style, without trying to go too much away from it. I mean,
see, that's the thing. Van Gogh's almost a bad example because his style was so unique and just unheard of, and the fact that nobody took him seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I could sit here all day talking about Van Gogh. Anyway,
yeah.
But no, I like to, if I'm going, see, one of my biggest problems is I'm slightly a perfectionist.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
If I'm going, shut up,
fucking OCD, like big time and shit.
So if I'm gonna try to, not impersonate, but replicate a style that's already very much established.
Mm-hmm.
If I make a painting that doesn't look exactly like that style, it's going to bug the shit out of me. And I won't be able to take it. That's why, like, I don't paint faces. Because if it doesn't look like a realistic face, I hate it. Mm-hmm. Like, I have two drawings. I did one of Batman and the Joker. Probably, some of the, in my opinion, and of course, to some artists, it's probably trash, but probably some of the best drawings I've ever done in my life.
Right.
I didn't finish them because I didn't do the faces. Because I can't do faces.
Do they look like caricatures? Or
no, know? they look like mannequins, basically, because I can't do the face. even like the mouth.
Right.
I can't do it. I can't do faces. So they look like mannequins. But at the same time, you know, it's the most time I ever spent drawing and stuff like that. But like with painting, for me, it's not about making something look like something. For me, it's a celebration of color. Because in high school, I shut up. In high school, I actually got a like an end of the year award for most creative ways to use the color black, because that's all I would use. I would use like Sharpie for everything.
My brother.
Nope. So a part of me after that point was like, okay, I have to step away from this and use vibrant colors,
right,
and use brighter colors and just stuff like that. So everything since then has always been bright and vibrant and just a mixture of color. And it just so happens all of the paintings that I've sold have all been my happiest. Like once I'm done with it, I look at it, I go, I love that painting. Mm-hmm. And I've sold all of those with the exception of one, which I gave to my wife.
Have you seen the... You know, when I first started going to KVCC, I would see some of the drawings that they have up there, because at probably like around mid semester, that's when a lot of the drawings start going up on the display and stuff. I'm like, damn, these people know how to draw. Like, I can't fucking draw a circle, let alone a fucking like beautiful masterpiece that they draw.
I think one thing that really trips people up is when they draw something that closely resembles something else, mm-hmm. like realism or something like that. Right. I think people take that as quality.
Whoa.
People miss the quality of simplicity. There are all kinds of famous paintings that you might look at. Like, I went to the art museum in Grand Rapids. Mm-hmm. There was a painting that I saw that was, one, it was huge.
Right.
And it was three big panels put together. And you know what smoke looks like when you see it against like a dark background? So you can so the smoke is very vibrant and you can really see the smoke. Mm-hmm. Like, think of like a
bonfire.
No, more like a. Because I'm going for something specific. Like incense. Have you ever seen incense burn? How the smoke coming off is very concentrated, mm-hmm. and like in a stream almost.
Yeah.
Well, somebody had taken these giant canvases and painted smoke that was concentrated like that. Mm. And I found myself just standing there staring at it going, okay, this is simple, but I can't walk away because something is pulling me into this very simple painting. And it blew me away.
Mm. Hmm. Interesting.
Micah, you're going to say something. I see it. What is it?
No, I'm looking at Ricardo over here on the set and just his intent listening.
Well, no,
to the description of this painting. I'm just curious what's going on in his mind.
I'm kind of thinking in a perspective of a Native American.
What?
I don't know why I thought like a bonfire and smoke and then like the incense. I thought like I was actually trying to picture it, to be honest. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's racist.
That's not. I'm
both of you.
I'm from the Americas. I don't know if you know this, but I'm more American than you are because my people originate from the Americas.
So. Well, yeah, because I'm from Canada.
Hey.
Hey.
So, no, I think that's very interesting to know that. Now, let me to know that you can that you want to be like a full-time artist in a sense. I think it's kind of odd, not odd in a sense, but like when you say that, I almost think that you almost feel that some of these pictures that like I was talking to you about the KVC pictures,
mm-hmm.
that they weren't art. I won't say they weren't artistic, but they were a little too artistic, not original. Maybe is that what
no, you're talking about? No. Okay. And this is strictly personal opinion.
Right.
There's a difference between artistic and technically well done.
Okay.
For me, especially like I remember there was a pencil drawing I saw forever ago of Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah, baby.
It honestly looked like a black and white photo. Mm-hmm. Mm. If there wasn't a little plaque that said pencil,
right,
in the description of what the medium was, I would have assumed it was a photograph.
Okay.
Hands down.
Wow.
That's how impressive it was. So yes, there's a artistic sense to be able to know how to do that. But for me personally, that's more of a technical sense. Somebody who understands shading, mm-hmm. and how that works and the technical aspect of how to physically draw the human face, because it was a, you know, image of her face.
Right.
That's a whole different category. For me, artistic is something that some people might look at and be like, okay, what is that? Perfect example.
Yeah.
Jackson Pollock. He made splash painting, basically just throwing paint on a canvas.
I knew that's what you did.
He made that famous. Well, that's the thing. But he was the first one to do it.
Right.
And people were like, what are you doing? And he's like, look at it though. And sure enough, people, they bought onto it. They're like, this is different. This is a weird expression that nobody has tried before. And again, like most painters, he died tragically way too early, you know? And so And so not that the technical artistic side of people isn't bad. Mm-hmm. It is probably mostly because I'm jealous.
Right.
Because I wish I could draw faces, but I can't. So, fuck, I can barely draw a fucking circle. I can paint with all kinds of colors and shit like that and make something look pretty, but I can't technically do that.
Now, one quick question before we jump onto Micah's side hustle career. I actually went to a, and I kind of enjoyed it, to be honest. I never thought I would enjoy it. What is your thought on canvas and wine, I guess, events where you bring in a artist per se, mm-hmm. and, you know, they kind of go, it's, you know, the whole painting with,
mm-hmm. they have, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
I think it's great.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, to be honest. I thought it was, so I still got it in my room. Yeah. I can't remember the fuck I drew, to be honest. I think it was a heart. There you go, with a sunset in the background. I'll send you a picture. I'll post it on Facebook.
Okay. Honestly, minus the alcohol, that whole experience is basically what Bob Ross was. Mm. I mean,
I don't know who that is.
You don't know
who?
What the?
We need like a button.
I know who.
Wait, do I have the wah wah button? Nope, that's not it.
I know who Rick Ross is.
No, not Rick Ross. Bob Ross.
Oh,
he was the painter on some. What was it?
I don't know what the network's name.
Nah, but it's like, anyway.
He had a curly fro.
Yeah, big old fro for a white guy.
Oh, okay. I don't
know. And he talked really nice and really quiet. He would always say, yeah, you know, if you mess up, that's okay. We're just gonna keep going.
And that's kind of some of these are though, like, or at least not the ones I know, because I don't know any besides the ones that now. So I went to this canvas painting,
right?
And she was very adamant. Like, she was really nice, but she was really adamant. Like, I'll take those $30 right now if you got them. Like, and
that's messed up.
Yeah, she told me a few times. And I'm just like, oh, you want them right now? Like, she's like, yes, I'll take the $30 right now. I'm just like, okay, you know.
Yeah, see,
she was like really pushy about the $30 damn dollars.
Bob Ross has never asked for my money.
Oh, okay.
Granted, he's dead now, but
no. But I really enjoyed it, and there's with people that like, I'm not gonna say who it was, but it was really weird because I only knew like two couples and then the rest of the people I didn't know. So it was really weird, but I still enjoyed it. So I can definitely see how, having these canvas parties with people that you thoroughly enjoy and actually producing something that it actually kind of looks kind of nice. I mean, I think that's pretty, it's a pretty good concept.
Yeah. It exposes people to creative sides that they assume they didn't have.
Right. Right.
And I think for some people that's very important, because despite what people think about being creative, even in an artistic sense or not an artistic sense, is important.
Right.
I mean, even just like creative thinking, if you can't, again, think outside the box.
Yeah, Micah.
Something that happened at the break. But anyway, you know, if you can't think outside the box, you're going to be limited in everything. Mm-hmm. So how not simply disarm everybody with simply saying, hey, you have a creative side that you are just simply not tapping into.
Right, right.
And so by the end of it, you have a physical example and evidence of the fact that you have a creative ability. Whether you take that as simply in a painting aspect, or you say, hey, I did this. Mm-hmm. I can now do something else.
I think it's the whole, you know what it is? I think it's the whole concept of comparing yourself to other people. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, so you start comparing yourself to other people. For example, like if I start comparing myself, your drawings to my drawings, I'm like, bro, I can't fucking draw a circle. You're over here. Well, you can't draw a face either, but at least you can draw a fucking body and like the whole background behind it and shit. I can't. So where the thing that I like that I really liked about it, the whole canvas painting, is the fact that like I was legit kind of proud of myself, because I mean, she did help me, and she did help, you know, fucking like some of my mess ups, but ultimately it was a good 80% of that drawing was my own fucking hand, and I'm good with my hands. Yeah, but that drawing, I didn't know it was that good. So
hint, ladies.
I got 10 fingers.
Oh.
Actually, 11. Well, you know. Don't ask. Don't tell. So, Micah, let me go to you and probably finish up some of the Brody talk and see where you're at with a side hustle that you wish you had that would be your main source of income potentially, besides podcasting, obviously, and Fluffer. The Fluffers. Yeah, you can't be a full-time Fluffer. Sorry.
I don't know. I mean, that could be a thing.
Well, I guess it could.
You can be a full-time Fluffer, Ricardo. You just killed my whole thought.
You just downplayed the whole industry.
It is possible, Ricardo. It is possible.
Oh, is it?
Okay. It is. With your drive, Josh's creativity, I can hold a lot of things in my hands.
That's the driving force, huh?
No, in all seriousness, I'd be a Fluffer.
What the fuck?
You're a hype man, aren't you?
I'd enjoy that. No, if we're being serious, you know.
Wait, being a Fluffer?
Well, yeah. I would love to.
Wait, I think you need to think this through, my guy.
So a Fluffer is not possible. They exist.
Well, they do exist, but
why can't I be a Fluffer?
I'm fighting every bit just of me not to say something.
Just say it.
I can't say it.
You have anything, Ricardo?
No, I don't have anything. Proceed. Proceed.
This really hurts that you guys are not. You know.
Okay, now, Fluffer in the traditional sense?
Traditional sense. Does that mean like a real Fluffer as we know?
Yes.
This is where I'm going with it. So you kind of got to start from the bottom if you want to reach the top, right?
Okay.
So
usually how it goes.
Yes.
So as a Fluffer, I would make sure that these scenes continue to stay alive so that magic can be made on people's computer screens. Without that, gosh, where would we be right now?
We definitely wouldn't have Harry Potter, you know, magic.
Ricardo, do you know what I'm talking about?
I'm totally lost as far as like.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm getting what you're laying down.
The day in the life of a Fluffer?
No. Do these Fluffers actually exist? Because
they do exist.
Really?
They do exist.
So it kind of reminds me of the, like I said, I was the Renaissance, like a movie like Games of Thrones. Although I never even watched that show. It reminds me of a Fluffer would be like somebody who would fluff off. it reminds me of somebody who would get the engine going for the man and the engine going for the woman, and then they kind of like let them go at it after they've been fluffed. Yes, but I really didn't know that they really exist.
Ricardo, I think you're kind of thinking in a close-minded.
I'm a very progressive thinker.
Not when it comes to fluffing.
I don't think you know what progressive means.
I know exactly what progressive means. I'm a very progressive thinker.
So let me tell you what a progressive fluffer does. I come on set, right?
Okay.
I make sure everyone.
No pun intended.
Everyone's taken care of, you know, waters, beverages, snacks, make sure they got their deli sandwiches, all of the attire is ready for each scene. And then, you know.
So I wouldn't call it a fluffer. I would call it like a
wardrobe.
Manager.
Sometimes if there's no chemistry between the. The A and the B product. You kind of got to spice up the life, but unfortunately, there's no physical exchange between the Fluffer and the A and the B.
Spice up the life.
I would think that there would be some very physical things.
See, going after on. A certain point, you just have to be like, hey, I can turn it on. There it is. Oh, wait, I can't. Fluffer Nutter, please.
No, but we're talking, and besides the fluffer, what would you really want to do outside of, like, if you had to do, give me a good example of what you would do on a regular basis, right?
To earn your cash. Go into a school.
Okay.
I would open the door to the math room, and I would start writing equations on the blackboard.
So you want to be a teacher?
You want to be a teacher?
I kind of want to be like Finding Forrester.
Like Goodwill Hunting?
Yeah. Whatever he did.
Was he the mathematician?
Yeah. He's the guy who was like the janitor and like solve problems. Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then when people wanted to talk to him, he'd be like, fuck you.
Mm.
You know?
Okay.
I don't know where this is coming from.
Right. Okay. So I want to be a fluffer. I want to be a mathematician. I got big ideas. Okay. Sorry, guys. I'm not as cool as you. I'm a fluffer nutter after all. Just let me. Let me fluff.
Let me fluff.
Okay. Well, that was very interesting. Well, for me, I don't know what I would do either. Now I want to change it to be a fluffer too. Shit, this sounds fun. No, see,
I think that'd be something that's fun for like a day, and then the second day you're like, I gotta do that again. I'm gonna have to get my hepatitis shot again, and my AIDS test, and my Corona test,
coronavirus. No, I think that if I was to have my it's gonna be really hard. If I was to have my dream job side hustle, I think that I would be I'll be a fisherman.
Like full-time. Deadliest Catch fisherman?
No, that's just too dangerous, bro. I'm talking like a bass pro fisherman, probably.
Like on TV?
I don't have to be on TV.
Like a sportsman thing?
I don't have to be on TV.
Well, how do you make money then?
Advertisers.
How?
Have you not watched Bass Pro?
No.
TV?
It's a big thing, Josh.
It sounds just as exciting as watching golf on television.
You take that back.
I will fluff you up right now.
Is that a promise?
What kind of snacks you want?
So you would just catch fish?
Yes.
Is that what I'm hearing? So you just want to go fishing?
I just want to go fishing. And get paid for it. And hunting. It'd be awesome to go hunting too. Some of these people make a lot of money, man. And they're out there in the wilderness.
I think the people who make money are the ones who like take other people on like the hunting trips.
No. Okay, so some of these sports people, or sports fisher people, fishermen and
sports fisher people.
These founders are hitting pretty good. Some of these wildlife entertainers. wildlife entertainers.
That's not a thing.
Joe Exotic.
It could be.
Fucking Carole Baskin.
Carole Baskin. They make a lot of money though. I don't know how they make a lot of money. I think a lot of it has to do with advertisers.
But advertisers for what?
For the fucking
fishing reels, yeah, boats, accessories. Yep.
I'm just not catching this.
What's so hard about?
Okay, this coming from the guy who didn't understand the whole fucking giant in the tequila, tequila bottle. I asked four different people the following day about that. Guess what? all of them knew exactly what I was talking about.
I got it afterwards, though. And I was sent
No. Let me say this for the record. He texted me the following day. Hey, I think I understand what you're saying now.
I mean, it's just, it wasn't clicking all the way. But no, I, so for fisher people, fishermen, they go out there, like he said, they have a lot of advertisers for lures.
Sponsors.
Sponsors.
Yeah.
So they got...
But see, even then, it's usually in a competitive sense, or you're the guide who's providing the ability for those sponsors to be out. Mm-hmm. Like, I worked for a guy who went on seasonal hunting trips, like big hunting trips, like even to the point where one year he had gotten a pretty decent size black bear, and he always
that's racist.
Shut up. And he would always have them stuffed and then brought home. He had like crazy trophies and shit like that, and he just so happened to leave his freshly stuffed black bear in the shop. And I just so happened to be the first guy in that morning. So I go in, I turn on the light, I walk in the door, and sure enough, here's a fucking black bear. And I shit you not.
You shit yourself.
That morning, on the way to work, on the radio, they had talked about the fact that they had seen black bears so, like, the furthest south in Michigan that they've seen in years.
I remember that. So I remember that.
I walk in there and I freeze. I'm like, and so this bear is staring at me, and I'm just like, okay, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And so I'm just sitting there. I'm like, wait a second. There's no back half to that bear. It was only half of the bear. So I was just like, what the fuck am I looking at? And so sure enough, anyway.
I do remember that. It's kind of funny you said
it because
I do remember.
Dude, that messed me up so much.
That's hilarious.
Ugh, scared the shit out of me.
No, I think that besides that, like, I love fishing. I love hunting. My last love, and it might be even my first love besides Brody, would be traveling. I would love to be a traveler, like a food traveler. Food traveler vlogger. Like, I think it'd be so interesting.
See, I could do that. See, like, I like food enough to where, but see, I don't have a very sophisticated palate. Right. So, like, I can't say, oh, this tastes like this and blah, 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 blah. You know, I could say, hey, this tastes good. Yeah. Or I could say, wow, this is disgusting. Don't ever give this to me again.
Now, would you be able to eat a lot of stuff that's probably not the more common American thing?
I think I would at least like to try it.
Right.
The biggest thing for me is smell. If it smells disgusting, I'm not going to eat it. Because for me, I always assume that smell is directly going to, it's going to taste the same. Right, if it smells like shit, it's probably going to taste like shit. I remember a couple years ago, I had sushi for the very first time.
Right.
Like, legit sushi. Legit sushi. Fuck. Shut up. So, and I mean, it wasn't bad, but I didn't think it was great.
Right.
It was a textural thing, and I think the type that we had gotten was just not my bag, so maybe a different combination or a different style of sushi would have been better for me.
Right.
Like, I like fish, but I prefer it to be cooked.
Yeah, I've had sushi before too, and I just the whole aspect of actually traveling and trying other people's foods, it would be a little hard for me, to be honest. You would think that me being ethnic and stuff would be so fucking like,
you get your enzymes.
My enzymes, right? But they're only particular for like American and Mexican food. Other than that, they don't really work too well.
I don't think that's how enzymes work.
I think it does. So I look at some other foods and where I'm just like, I don't know, man. Like Indian food, like I'm assuming it's a very good food, but just the way it looks and the way it, I'm not the biggest fan of curry either. Like, it's just like, I just tried it. We went to this place in Mattawan is supposed to be like one of the best Chinese Asian, Chinchin's. Yeah, Chinchin, there you go.
Oh, what?
Chin-chin. There's no favorite Icelandic.
Chin-chin.
Is that the name of it? Yeah, or is that like a...
No, it's not. It's actually is a real name. Okay. And it's supposed to be like one of the best ones around the whole Kalamazoo County. I would assume. Would that be a fair...
Is it good? It's the most authentic.
Yeah. Oh. So okay, but then there's a difference. There's the difference between good and authentic.
Right.
Authentic may not be very good, but at the same time, we may be thinking of Chinese as, you know, Chinese food.
Well...
Or as they think of it as food.
Well, let me ask you this, though, because I've heard before that American Chinese food is nothing like the real Chinese food, where it's like legit night and day. Like, when you talk about Mexican and Mexican-American food, it's different, but it's essentially the same.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's very... Very similar. I mean, it's used in a certain things are substituted to fit the American palate, but in a sense, it's essentially the same thing. When you come to, when it comes to Chinese food, real Chinese food from straight from China, it's totally different comparative to the Chinese what we think of as a Chinese buffet or whatever, like orange chicken and Szechuan, you know, which is
sweet and sour soup.
Hot and sour soup.
Chicken fried steak.
You know what? That's actually a good question. I don't know if they would have hot and sour soup back in China.
Why would they not?
I don't know.
I think it's more like American Chinese food.
Compared to like legit Chinese food.
That's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, I enjoy like cooking shows. And there's been a few that I've tried to follow over the years where they go to certain locations around the world. And they have these plates of... legit authentic food, and I think to myself, it's like, hey, that looks amazing,
right?
You know, but at the same time, the people who are there and tasting it are renowned chefs who know how, and this sounds weird, but they know how to taste their food,
right?
They know how to separate this taste from this taste and shit like that. For me, it's just like, hey, just shove shit in my mouth, then I'll just try it. You know,
well, okay,
not shit.
Okay,
put food. All right, here, let me rephrase. Put food in my mouth, and I'll just try it. You know, it's not about tasting this or that. It's about just me enjoying what I'm eating.
Right.
And I think that's the hardest thing for me when it comes to food and me trying new foods. Especially if I go to a restaurant, if I'm going to pay, let's say, $15 for a plate, and I don't like it, it's a waste of money.
So that's what actually happened to me when I went to Chin Chin's. I have,
that sounds so racist.
So it was such a big backlog. It was so freaking busy. They kept bringing appetizers, and which was really good. So I ordered like a curry, like an extra spicy curry plate. I can't remember what it was.
Yikes.
But that's when I figured out that I don't like curry. I was like, oh shit, this is not what I really enjoy, to be honest. So
there is there's an Indian restaurant in the town
like
that
Feather or Dot.
That's racist. But Dot. so there's this restaurant where their hours of operations are odd, where I think it's almost like a strictly dinner thing. You know how like a lot of the homespun restaurants are just like a early breakfast and then close early afternoon? This place I think only is open like for dinner or maybe a few hours after. It's really weird. But I just so happened to be in the vicinity and walking by and everything, and you could smell the curry.
Oh, yeah.
And to the point of it it making my stomach feel unsettled.
Oh, shit.
So when I got home, I ran right to the bathroom, and my wife was like, what the hell is wrong with you? I was like, oh, I walked by that Indian place, and she's like, that's terrible. And I was like, wow. But that's how – well, see, the thing is, that's how
yeah. –
not it's not that it smelled bad. There was just something about it that was just so overwhelming that it's like, okay, if I'm going to be eating food that smells like that, not that it smells bad, the fact that it's, a very unique smell and a very
ethnic.
No, not ethnic, but focused smell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't say, well, it kind of smells like this or kind of, it's like you curry smells like curry.
So when I first moved into the apartment there where I'm at, my neighbors across, I never even met them, to be honest. I just smelt what they were cooking, and there was a lot of curry and there was a lot of fucking what is it called? Garlic. I like garlic too, don't get me wrong. But you can definitely tell they were of Arabic descent.
I bought a garlic mustard. Oh, so good. Okay. All right, guys. I think we're all, at least two of us, are successfully buzzing, which is good. Which is how it always is. Those who have listened from the beginning, first off, let us say you are awesome.
Thank you.
And the fact that you continue to stay with this podcast over and over and over again, despite how how crazy we get. And we appreciate that. This podcast is always evolving, always changing, always doing something that it didn't do before, but always having something that stays the same. And sure as fucking enough, that's me and Ricardo.
Yes, sir.
Ricardo and I will never change.
Yes, sir.
The people we talk to might change.
Yes, sir.
What they do might change. What we drink might change.
Yes, sir.
But this will always be the Warehouse Rats podcast. And we will always talk so much shit about that other stuff.
Yes, sir.
So, as we grow and evolve as a podcast, I hope you enjoy that growth and enjoy how we move on and stick with us, because it will never get boring around here.
Yes, sir.
So, this is the Warehouse Rats podcast, season 2.
Episode 6. Micah?
Micah, last words, man.
Last words, man.
Let me fluff you up.
That could be a jingle. Anyways, moving on.
Until we meet again, my fellow Warehouse Rats people, peace.
We're out.